This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، as it is clear to all of us that we are witnessing one of the greatest states of Muslim weakness. What we are witnessing is perhaps something that is unprecedented, where we lack strength, the ability to save ourselves, the ability to determine what is happening to us. And we must ponder how we can regain our strength beyond simple emotional appeals. How can we actually regain that strength? And why is it that we need it today, perhaps more than ever or in a very long time? On the individual level, on the communal level, on the family level, as an ummah, we need that strength. We need it because as you approach the Day of Judgment, the Prophet ﷺ said that the fitan will increase, will be prominent. Fitan, afflictions, temptations. And you can see the confirmation of this in what is happening globally, but also what is happening to each one of us, what is happening inside our homes. How every new year brings new challenges, every new decade brings increased pressure that was not there before. And so to be able to withstand that pressure, the stamina and the power of a Muslim must also increase. And as an ummah, you note how weak we are, that we are waiting for somebody else to help us. What happens in another nation with other people determines what happens to us, not what is happening within. So we can't dictate, we can't lead, we can't decide. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he mentioned in the hadith, تَتَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ, the nations will attack you, invite each other to attack you, he pointed alayhi salatu wasalam to something essential. What he said, وَيُلْقَى فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهْنِ, there will be wahn in your hearts. And wahn is weakness. And they said, O Messenger of Allah, what is this wahn? He said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. He says, loving the dunya and hating death. He said, you will be weak on the inside. That is the essence of your weakness. You love the dunya and you are afraid of death. And you may wonder, will all of us love the dunya? And you may wonder, all of us are worried about death. But the Prophet ﷺ did not talk about the natural love for the dunya and the natural fear of death. He is talking ﷺ about a love of the dunya that is so dominant that you don't want to leave it and you put it before Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the type of love. It becomes what you live for and think about and die for. And being afraid of this is natural, but when you're so afraid of it that you would compromise Allah and His Messenger and what they have revealed because you're afraid of death, then that cowardice is your detriment, that cowardice is your end. Because there has to be something that you are willing to die for, that you're willing to sacrifice for. Everybody in this world understands this. Otherwise, you don't have no morals. There has to be something important in your life. And you will see in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal said, خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take what we have revealed to you with strength. That is a command that was even given to the prophets of Allah alayhim as-salatu was-salam, where Allah said to Yahya, Ya Yahya, خُذ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةٍ. Yahya, hold on firmly to the book. And when you think about what does it mean to hold firmly to what Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed, and how is this tied to strength? It is to believe that what Allah has revealed is the best of the best. To hold on to it without qualifications. To submit to it without reservation. To implement it without obstacles. To surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal more than you surrender to anything or anyone else. Not to hesitate in following it. He says, this is strength when you hold on to the book of Allah and you hold on to the sunnah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is the essence of strength if we want strength. If you want to dissect it a little bit. To begin with, strength means knowledge. And we will not be strong in Islam and strong afterwards because of it if we do not know what Islam is. And when you look at us today, except for a few among us, may Allah bless them, we're not interested in learning Islam. We know superficially what Islam is, but ask yourself, is this sufficient for you to combat the challenges of today, to combat the frequent fitan, one after the other, to combat the temptations that will visit you and visit your family and visit your children, to know what is right and what is wrong, to have a moral fiber that tells you right from wrong, a compass. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu anhu, he said something about being an imma'a, like a yes man, one who goes along with the crowd. He says, لَا يَكُونَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِمَّعَ إِنْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ أَحْسَنْتُمْ وَإِنْ ظَلَمُوا ظَلَمْتُمْ وَلَكِنْ وَطِّنُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنْ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسُ أَنْ تُحْسِنُوا وَإِنْ أَسَاءُوا أَلَّا تَظْلِمُوا. He says, do not be an imma'a. What does that mean? He said that when people do good, then you do good. And then if they are unjust, then you are unjust. But get yourself used to something better. That if they do good, you do good. And if they are evil, if they do something bad, you're not unjust. Meaning the crowd does not determine how you behave. If people follow the law, you follow. If they break the law, you don't break it because they broke it. If they are moral, you are moral. If they are immoral, you don't say, because immorality has spread, I'll be immoral again. How will you know this? He says, it's with knowledge, with ilm. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu used the same word when he said, اِغْدُ عَالِمًا أَوْ مُتَعَلِّمًا وَلَا تَكُنْ إِمَّعَةً بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. He says, you either be a scholar, a person of knowledge. If not, then a student who's learning. And don't be an imma'a outside of the two. So you want to follow the truth, you have to know what the truth is. You must have the sound belief, صِحَّةُ الْمُعْتَقَدِ, to be able to distinguish between tawheed and shirk, sunnah and bid'ah, what is halal and what is haram, so that you could implement this. How could you implement something that we do not know? And we are living in an era of competing ideologies. You have to understand that we are going to accept some of them, naturally or consciously or subconsciously. But you have to be aware of their influence so you can ask yourself, well, what is wrong then with liberalism or neoliberalism? What is wrong with gender politics? What is wrong with identity politics? What could be the right but also the wrong things about them? What is wrong about right-wing ideologies? What is wrong about left-wing ideologies? What is distinctive about Islam that we want to offer to people, which will save them from this chaotic world that we're living in, which is a product of those confused ideologies. How are we different? How are we distinct? So knowledge is essential. So we need to commit ourselves. We really want to be strong to learning Islam, and this has to be consistent, regular. Salatul Jum'ah is not enough. You have to frequent the masjid, you have to read books, you have to learn your Quran, you have to learn your sunnah, you have to commit yourself. It doesn't matter how old and how young you are. At least you'll meet Allah Azza wa Jal with increased knowledge. Some of the Salaf, on his deathbed, he was discussing with someone a hadith. He says, narrate this hadith to me. Give me this hadith. Then he was criticized by some family members. He says, you want to do this now? He says that if I were to meet Allah Azza wa Jal with this hadith, I'd be better off than meeting him ignorant of it. Just before death, if I just learn this ayah, this hadith, this halal and that haram, I'll be better with Allah Azza wa Jal. So that should be the motivation. All of us should be learning our Islam, because you are living in a time and you are living in a place where your Islam will be compromised if you do not understand it. Add to this the commitment that should follow. That Allah Azza wa Jal, خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاسْمَعُوا. Take firmly, hold on firmly to what we have revealed to you and listen to it. Meaning follow it. And the people of the book, they said, سَمِعْنَا وَعَصَيْنَا. The people of the book said, we hear and we disobey. So what are we going to say? And if you take this and you implement it, and you champion Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah says, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you elevate Allah and you esteem Him, Allah Azza wa Jal will elevate you. Allah will esteem you. Allah will champion you. But you need that strength of knowledge and commitment and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How are we going to fight among the many challenges? Mental health issues. We are increasingly vulnerable to them. And I'm not saying that mental health issues are caused, or all of them are caused by a weakness of iman. But when you strengthen your iman, you'll be able to fight it. When you strengthen and elevate your iman, you'll be able to combat that. But if you leave yourself defenseless, then you're open to all of the bad influences in society. And I believe that all of us are vulnerable. No one is safe unless Allah Azza wa Jal saves you. So are you going to wait till you're infected? Are you going to wait till your family is suffering and your kids are suffering? Or will you inoculate them with iman and with practice and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jal? And when we speak about surrendering to Allah Azza wa Jal, it's important to understand what that means. That Allah's revelation is above any human manufacturing of ideas, any human proposal. That Allah Azza wa Jal knows the best and He has revealed the best. So if there's a contradiction, we put Allah Azza wa Jal first, and we put the sunnah of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam first. You see it sometimes in ideologies that's kind of sneak into us, into our minds and into our hearts. You see us how we divide sometimes based on tribes and nations, based on ethnicities and race. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he came to Medina, they had tribes. All the Arabs belonged to different tribes. He did not eradicate tribal affiliation. He didn't say, disregard your tribes. But when there is a conflict, which comes first? When there is an affiliation, which comes first? When there's a conflict, who are you going to put first? So Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam gave the best example when he gave Ala inna ala bani fulan laysu li bi awliya inna waliyya Allah wa salihul mu'minin. He says, the family of so-and-so are not my allies. And he was referring to people in Quraysh, his tribe, his people. So-and-so are not my allies. My ally is Allah and the righteous among the believers. So who is your ally? Sometimes you see us reverting back into our national origins or identification. I am this and you're that. Or our tribal affiliation. I am this and you're that. And we take pride in this over other people. And we must understand that this not only divides Muslims and weakens the Muslim body, but this is also jahiliyyah. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Da'uha fa innaha muntina." Let go of this, it is rotten. When you take pride into your group at the expense of the other, he says, this is rotten. Leave this. There is no sense being proud because you belong to a particular tribe. You just belong to them. There is no sense being proud because you are male or female. There's no pride in this. There's no pride in being white or black. There's absolutely no pride in it. And you should not categorize yourself based on those colors or based on those genders or based on those tribes or based on those nations. And you must understand here that yes, there is a reality to nationalism today in terms of a nation, how it exists, etc., etc., and the laws that it imposes upon the land. But then ask yourself, and especially when it is about Muslim lands, are these borders natural? Who drew these borders? Who else other than colonial powers who really wanted to do what with those borders? Fragment and divide. And yet we subscribe to them thinking that yes, this is something real. And it isn't. I should love my brother across the border if he's righteous more than I love someone who is a citizen who is unrighteous. My greater affiliation is not to get angry when my country is attacked. Should be angry when Allah and His prophets are attacked. Country is a country that comes and goes. A border changes. In 10, 15, 20 years, the borders may not stay the same. Then what is going to happen? Your affiliation, race, ethnicity, nationalism, if they supersede Islam, we have weakened the Islamic body. So we have to go back and submit to Allah Azza wa Jalla. I'm a slave of Allah and I'm a servant of Allah. I'm not a slave of a border. And I don't identify myself based on any other affiliation. They can be, but they are secondary to me being a Muslim. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد. It is important also if we want to be strong to understand that, and it's part of surrendering and submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal, is that we don't and are not controlled by our emotions. We are controlled by what Allah loves and hates. So I'm not going to respond to someone or to something based on what I feel, but based on how does Allah want me to do? What does Allah want me to do with this? And how does He want me to act? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, laysa shadidu bisura'a. The strong person is not the one who overwhelms others physically, but the one who controls himself when he's angry. And that control comes because Allah Azza wa Jal is above our emotions. So before I react to someone or to react to something, before I say, before I speak, I must ask you, I ask myself, Allah Azza wa Jal loves this, I'll do it, even if I don't want it. Allah Azza wa Jal hates this, I'm not going to do it, even though I'm inclined towards it. And that is true strength, not emotionalism. But to restrain yourself when restraint is needed. And that cannot happen unless one is close to Allah Azza wa Jal. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. It says, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, who have iman, if you meet a party in conflict, in fighting, in jihad, be firm, be steadfast, and remember Allah often so that you may be successful. And that remembrance of Allah, that is continuous. You don't forget, that is continuous. That's the thing that gives you strength, because you'll always remember that Allah should come first. If you think about how much we give to Allah versus other things in our lives, you'll understand the essence of that weakness. Consider Allah Azza wa Jal as an employer, just for the purposes of this comparison. He has employed you. But you have other employers as well. You have that physical employer who wants from you X number of hours a day. You also have your responsibility as a father, responsibility as a husband, your responsibility. Consider how much you give Allah Azza wa Jal versus this life. How much you sacrifice for this life versus Allah Azza wa Jal. And then compare and consider your strength in this life and your strength in iman. And you'll understand where the weakness may lie. We give Allah Azza wa Jal the leftovers. Let's be honest, right? We give Allah Azza wa Jal the leftover of our money, the leftover of our attention, the leftover of our time, the leftover of our life. This is why when we're young, we run after the dunya. And then when the dunya tells us, we don't want you anymore because you're old, you say, I'm going to be religious. The leftover. The thing that no one needs. How can a person prosper like this? How can they be strong like that? How can an ummah be strong like that? When they put Allah Azza wa Jal last. And lastly, the last thing I want to say about strength is how we deal with each other. And I mentioned that we should do that absence the consideration of race and ethnicity and nationalism. SubhanAllah, sometimes you fight that people are fine, but once they start having a problem with another person, they revert back to their nationalism and then generalization about the other person. Oh, those people are X, Y, and Z. That people, that nation, this country, X, Y, and Z. And that is jahiliyyah. But here when Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. It says, obey Allah and His Messenger and do not dispute, do not quarrel. For then if that happens, you will be weak on the inside. فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. You'll be weak on the outside. How we dialogue with each other, how we talk to each other, and the purpose of that discussion matters. So when Allah said, obey Allah and His Messenger and do not dispute, it means two things. One, do not dispute with Allah and the Messenger. If they say something, follow it. It is better for you. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. It is better for you and it will bring the best result. But also when you're talking to each other, disputing with each other, because you naturally will disagree with each other. That's natural. What is your aim and what is your goal and what tools are you using when you're talking to someone else? Do you simply want to defeat them? Do you simply want to humiliate them? Do you just simply want to be right? Or do you want to reach the truth? Will you say whatever in order to win? Or will you say, I do not know when you do not know? Do you want to humiliate the other? Or you want to elevate him by him acceptance of the truth? Shafi'i radiallahu anhu said famously, he says, I've never debated, argued, disputed with a person, except that I would want him to reach the truth without me pointing it to him. I want him to reach the truth on his own. And he says, whenever I find someone who was wrong, and then he admits that he was wrong, he increases in value in my eyes. I respect him because he admitted that he was wrong. And whenever I see someone stubbornly clinging to to falsehood, he's demoted in my eyes. Because I know that that's weakness in character. So we have to balance two things. On the one hand, being vocal about the truth. We can't compromise it. On the other hand, maintaining Muslim integrity, the integrity of the ummah. And this is a tricky balance, and not everybody is able to achieve it. And if we know, let's try our best to maintain that balance. And if we don't, let's refer this back to those of knowledge and say, how do I talk about these things? How do we solve these issues? Because I don't want, in the process of proclaiming the truth, to alienate a lot of Muslims. And I'd also want, also in the name of grabbing a lot of Muslims and bringing them to Islam, to compromise the truth. It doesn't work unless you maintain both. And we need Allah, ask Allah Azza Jal for wisdom, and also we need to be humble enough. So, to summarize, may Allah Azza wa Jal give us the wisdom to be strong. We have to realize that this is an individual responsibility. Don't wait for your neighbor or for somebody else to do it on your behalf. We need every one of us to be strong. For your own sake, first of all. And then for the sake of your family, for the sake of your children, for the sake of your neighborhood, for the sake of this masjid and community. And then you will contribute to the ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam if you are strong. So ask Allah Rabbil Alameen, Arham Ar-Rahimeen, to make us among the strong of the face of this earth, who hold firmly to his book and the sunnah of his prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, remind us, and do not make us of those who are neglectful and unaware of you. Ya Allah Rabbil Alameen, teach us our religion. Make us of those who are committed to it. Make us of those who are sincere in their life towards you, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen. Wa ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to give quick and haste relief to the people of Gaza, and to the people of Palestine, and to people of Asham, and to the people of Sudan, and to all and rest of all of Islam, Ya Rabbal Alameen, wherever a Muslim may be suffering and under duress. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, that you would clothe them and feed them and defend them and plot for them and not plot against them, Ya Arham Ar-Rahimeen. Ya Allah, forgive us all of our sins and the sins of the rest of the Muslims. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulubi thabbit quluban على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. And before I leave, inshallah, for the salah, just two things that I want to mention. First of all, they wanted me to tell you, Zakum Allah khair, the expenses that the masjid needed to complete the renovations for the wudu area had been fulfilled. So may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you and reward anyone and everyone who had contributed and anyone who had made dua. And also HCI, inshallah, they want to talk to you right after the salah, inshallah, about the situation in Gaza and donations that are going to go there. So if you have time, inshallah, give them a little bit of your attention. Barakallahu feekum.